Fred Film Radio from the 76th Venice International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 Venice International Film Festival, and we're specifically going to be talking about a very special film in the Giornate degli Autori section with its filmmaker, Philip Eumanns. Thank you very much for joining us, first of all.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, man.
And the film is called Burning Cain. Now, I saw the film. I thought it was a great immersive experience, very hypnotic at times, but also quite dark. It's not afraid to tread on darker grounds. But, you know, for the benefit of the listeners who are not familiar with it yet, would you mind just introducing it a little bit? Tell us a little bit about the story, basically just any sort of introduction that you'd like to.
Got you. So Burning Cain is about a very rigidly religious community in rural Louisiana. It revolves around an aging mother, his son Jeremiah, and her troubled pastor in Laurel Valley.
Yep.
And it was a film that I made before my senior year of high school, and I spent a lot of time in senior year in post-production, and now it's here.
Right, because this is your first feature film,
first
right?
Feature, yeah.
And so for a first feature, I mean, generally, you know, it's interesting that you would pick these subjects to talk about, to deal with. I mean, was there a reason for that? Was there a specific starting point that you had in mind for this first feature of yours?
Well, I knew I wanted to start in a world that I knew, and I grew up in the Baptist church. You know, there were a lot of things in growing up that I recognized that I personally, you know, had some ideological differences with, but in that, I think, given that it was my upbringing and my roots, I wanted to sort of explore and create a humanizing portrait of the people that I knew, the people that populated the community that I came up in. And so more than anything, you know, that's what Burning Cain was about, and that's what, really, that's what my intention was from the beginning, just to create a very humanizing, holistic picture of these people in this town.
The word that comes to my mind, or came to my mind when I was watching it, was impressionism, because it just seems like almost, you know, the way in which the film is put together, it's like brushstrokes. You know, you're not getting everything, there's something that is left unsaid, but also you get the essence of it in a way. I mean, is that a difficult a structure to work with? What's the challenge there?
I think that's very interesting. I think because in production and in the sort of screenwriting phase of the film was much more directly linked in terms of where character scores go and sort of like A, B, C sort of track. But in that, in moving into production and in post, I realized that a lot of those ends tied up too perfectly for me. It felt like it didn't feel like it was enough of a sort of, I guess, different sort of exploration of that world, you know. And for me personally, you know, as a filmmaker, I love films that leave enough open for conversation, yeah. Leave enough open, I guess, for free association, you know. And I think the film, in a way, it doesn't follow a sort of like catalyst, cause and effect, by the beat sort of scene sequence. And that was something that I recognized was present in the screenwriting phase, and as we started in production, and it didn't feel right, yeah. You know, and it's almost hard to articulate why I made the decision to sort of make it a little more open, how we follow them, we come into this cycling of characters, and then the film sort of unlocks. It's very difficult to sort of say why, but it's almost a gut feeling that there's some things that we don't need answers to, and there's some things that that are sort of better left to sort of live with these people and see them in these moments, but not necessarily make any sort of direct cause and effect sort of sequence with everything.
Yeah, it's interesting that you would say that. I know it's hard to say why, but still, it's interesting, because that type of choice to me would show, you know, some very human sensibility in a way. So I know we can't answer why, but do you have an idea of where that sensibility comes from? I mean, for example, I mean, it could come from other art interests, or just, you know, that openness to gray areas.
I think for me, I wanted the film to almost feel, I guess, in a way, sort of documentarian in the way that we were in living with these people. You know what I mean? And that's, I think, that kind of branches into one in my sort of mapping out of the story, and also into my approach into filming it. Also, right. I wanted it to feel almost like as if we were with them, you know. That's why that was a big sort of dictation of why a lot of the film, or really all of the film, is naturally and practically lit, you know. it was just all about sort of not having it be perfect, yeah. not having it be a tied-in sort of sequence, because it just, again, I guess going back to that, talking about, like, how can I explain it or where it comes from, I think really it goes back to my intention to humanize, and while creating a sort of documentarian sort of effect or approach with the film that was implemented. And I think that sort of breached into not only the editing, and you spoke about how it felt like a sort of, I guess sort of like a brooding, sort of moving, almost hypnotic thing. And that's something that I also discovered that I loved, you know, the sort of bleeding effect of editing. Yeah. When the sounds and sort of atmosphere of one scene bleed into the next, that's, I think it's really dope that you said the word hypnotic, because that makes me feel really cool. But yeah,
and it's like, it's not just the editing, as you said, it's also the handheld camera work, you know, just the way it moves, yeah. and the sounds too. I mean, that's another thing that I wanted to ask you. I mean, there's a lot of sounds, there's a lot of music, and sometimes what I mean by music is just even people talking, or just that part at the start, just the introduction with that yeah. monologue at the start. I mean, yeah. I feel that the voice is almost as important as the words. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, that doesn't make sense. It does make sense. And then I think, again, latching on to just sort of in cementing my intention with style, say with the music, for the most part, the music starts out in scenarios and in scenes and in places where we know where the source of it is. And it may bleed on into the next scene, but it starts in a place that we are sort of grounded in. And that, I think, adds on to that sort of intention that I had with it. But with JoJo in the beginning, when Helen's speaking about JoJo and how her sort of fruitless efforts to save him and where those are sort of ending up, a lot of those sort of things where I place that in the beginning but we don't revisit JoJo in the end, a lot of that for me, at least what my intention with that was to sort of establish Helen as an individual and her fruitless efforts to save something that she loves, and how, in a way, no matter how hard you try, some things are really up left to fate or left to the world in a way. And Helen and her sort of issues with the dog and JoJo parallel Daniel's and her fruitless efforts to save something that she loves, you know, yeah. and how in a way towards the end of the film she does feel sort of hopeless. But that goes back to my intention with the film also, where by the end of the film it really is about sort of questioning, one, what her intentions are, the decisions that she makes, and also looking at the fundamentalist interpretation of her religion that she enacts. Yeah. Because by the end of the film, she speaks to the pastor and asks him what she should do, and she takes his words literally.
Yeah, it's also, like, I guess this contrast between spirituality and just the earthly things. It's like, I don't know if you like Tarkovsky, but I was watching a film about him, and he said something like about a filmmaker's, you know, a great filmmakers usually do have their feet firmly planted on the ground while they're pointing somewhere, you know, in the air or the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was great, and I think, you know, that sort of resonates in your film too. That contrast between spirituality but real life too.
That's great. I think. And that really was a big thing. It's like, in terms of where they're guided in the moments that we live in church, it is kind of an unspoken sort of governance in them. But we are grounded in the sort of, I guess, everyday sort of domestic brutality of their experience. When we see Helen gutting a chicken and preparing that for herself, and then going to church and seeing it's just an interesting sort of layering that I think builds the sort of multidimensionality of their experiences in that town.
Yeah, and given just the way in which you work and just the start of the film, I mean, is it hard to for the cast to follow you in this sort of method?
I think that's interesting. I'll go back to it though, but I think in the film, in the screenwriting phase, when I wrote the script and we moved into production. For the actors, a lot of the answers about where their characters go, about where they came from, about how those stories tie up, were given. Mm-hmm. I think the choice became for me whether or not to give those same answers to the audience. But for them, I think they knew how Tillman and his sort of enactment in relationship with all of the people in the choir in his church and all of his congregation members, they know how all those tied up. Nice. But we get bits and pieces and slices of his life. We get moments and we live with him in these moments. But the actors know. I think they had ample information for where their characters were in this point in time, what they wanted, and where those stories ended up. But it became a decision for me about how I wanted to communicate that and how much I wanted to give and hand to people. And I didn't want to hand them anything,
right.
You know.
right.
So, yeah.
Okay, so unfortunately, we have run out of time, but it was fascinating talking with you. It's a great pleasure.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I remind our listeners that the film is called Burning Cain, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.